Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text for this morning is the Old Testament lesson, and especially the seventh verse in these words, who brings good news of happiness. Anyone in the room interested in me in droning on about the latest COVID statistics? Maybe not. You might be over that. So let's not do that. Instead, since today is the beginning of Advent, the first Sunday in Advent, let's rather talk about the coming of salvation. That's what Advent is all about, the coming of salvation into the world. Good news, peace, good news of happiness, salvation, singing for joy, that is the counsel of today's Old Testament lesson. If you didn't get it while I was reading it, look at it again. That's what this text is all about. Now, over the past 9 months, we have been drained by the media's dire dirge of death. And that's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for your spirit. It's not healthy for faith. It's not healthy for your physical being or your emotional being. So let's do a little bit different today. Today's Word of God vaccinates you against the hopelessness that comes from this droning on by reminding you that Jesus is your salvation and He is always coming. The result is pure joy. Well, sometimes the world does drone on and on about the dismal days ahead. We may fall prey to it just like the people of the Old Testament did in today's text. So at the time that Isaiah is writing, the dominant world power is the country of Assyria. And they are huge and they are very powerful and they are threatening Israel. All the powers of the armies of Assyria rallied against Israel. And the people of Israel are frightened. But instead of trusting in God, they want to trust in the powers of man. And so at the time, they are making alliances with other world powers like Egypt and saying, would you be on our side? We'll give you thus and such if you just protect us against the power of Assyria. And the false prophets of the day were saying, Assyria can't be defeated. You've got to make alliances with some other powerful nation. Skip forward many centuries. Today, our nation is afraid of the COVID virus. It is the dominant world power. It covers all the nations. And the people of our nation, and perhaps the world, instead of trusting in God, are trusting in man. There is little repentance in today's world. There is little turning to God. Instead, we trust the powers of man. And we hope, now don't take your masks off, because I'm not saying that masks are not good, but we believe that the masks are going to save us, or social distance will save us, or the vaccine will save us. Is our hope in God against this dominant world power? God certainly can use the masks and the social distancing and so on. Not speaking against that in any way. I am speaking against trusting in the powers of man rather than trusting in God. And that happens whether you wear the mask or not, right? The false prophets are saying COVID is king. You may be familiar with this. The Latin word corona means crown. And the coronavirus has been crowned the king in many people's minds. It is the dominant world power. Now let's talk about you. What is it that frightens you? Now, it may be the coronavirus or something else might be going on in your life. Something that takes away your joy. Something that causes you to trust in something other than God. Something that makes you think, oh, there is no hope. Tomorrow is going to be worse than today. Let's bump it back a notch in terms of the number of people and talk about this congregation. I don't know, but I suspect that there are some people in this congregation who are a little bit afraid about the building project. What if we don't have enough money? What if we get it started and we can't finish it? What if we build it and the people don't come? What if we build it and our pastor takes a call? There are all sorts of things that can frighten us, things that threaten our joy, things that tempt us to trust in something other than God. Too often we allow the events of this world to control us. The fear of something other than God is harmful to our faith. Is COVID the king? Does it sit on the throne of this world? When everything is bad news, where do you find joy? When everything we touch turns to dust, whom do you trust? It's hard on our faith when we think that something other than God is going to save us. The fear of something other than God harms not only our faith, it also harms our testimony to the rest of the world. This text is about the coming of the good news of salvation, and it is our good news to deliver to the rest of the world. But if we are crabby and grouchy and grumpy and hopeless, who will want to listen to us? If we refuse to sing the song of joy even during the days of COVID, how will they ever hear the good news of salvation? The fear of something other than God not only harms our faith and harms our testimony, it diminishes our joy. Now here, allow me the luxury of doing just a little bit of an adjustment to the translation. So if you would, look at verse 7. You have a translation, who brings good news of happiness. The word that is translated happiness there probably shouldn't be translated happiness. It's a Hebrew word, a very simple word. It's used 409 times in the Old Testament. That means a lot of times. And it's a simple word, good, G-O-O-D. That's the most common translation. Now, I understand why an English translator would not want to translate brings good news of good, but that's what it says and that's what it should say, because it makes a huge difference. Happiness is an emotion. It comes and goes. You've probably noticed that. Your happiness is dependent on the circumstances of this world. Good things happen, you're happy. Bad things happen, you're not happy. And you swing with the circumstances of this world. But joy or good is something completely different. When Isaiah says, who brings good news of good, he's talking about one thing. That is the goodness of the salvation that is coming into the world. That's what he's talking about. The goodness of the coming of Jesus. He publishes, this messenger publishes or speaks. I also don't like publishes, but that's another sermon. He speaks or proclaims good news of the good. This joy that comes to you because Jesus is coming into the world. When we think in terms of happiness, we may misunderstand this text and think, well, we can be happy when he's coming and not happy when we don't see him coming. But that's not what it's saying. Here is a good gift, and it's always a good gift, and you always have it. It's the gift of joy. Good news. When we allow the bad circumstances of our lives and of this world to be piled on top of the good that God gives to us, like so much manure, then everything falls apart, and we lose the joy that God intends us to live in. The events of this world may make us unhappy, but they absolutely cannot take away the good that God gives and the joy that comes from the good that God gives. So Jesus brings the good news of good because he is our salvation. So I want you to see the progression in verse 7, because good news is the culmination. Just look again at verse 7 and you will see, first he brings good news, and then he proclaims peace, And then he proclaims good news of good, and then he proclaims salvation. This is the goal. You're saved. That's what the people of Israel were waiting for, to be saved from the powers of Assyria. And symbolically, from the powers of sin. So also you are waiting to be saved, whether it's from the COVID virus or whatever else is disturbing you in your life today, or whether it's from some inborn sin that you can't seem to get over, you are waiting to be saved. We all are. And this is the good news. This is the good news of good. Salvation comes. What you may not know is that the Hebrew word that is translated salvation here, both at verse 7 and at verse 10, the Hebrew word that is translated salvation is Yeshua. That might sound a little familiar. It is also the Hebrew word for the name Jesus. His parents didn't call him Jesus. They called him Yeshua. Pretty interesting. Now look at the text. Proclaims peace, who brings good news of good, who proclaims Jesus. Jesus is what the story is all about, because he is our only salvation. He is the good news. So I remind you today, and I must remind you, that President Trump is not the king. President-elect Biden is not the king. The coronavirus is not the king. The vaccine is not the king. Nothing in all creation is the king. The messenger concludes his presentation by saying, "Your God reigns." Jesus is the king. He sits on the throne. And he is your king because he came into this world to free you from the tyranny of the kingdom of Satan. There, held in bondage of sin and death, all of us long to be saved. And Jesus comes as great king and conquers all evil and frees us and brings us into his kingdom of light and life. He is the king, and he reigns forever. That, I submit to you, is good news of the good. Not only that, but the whole world will see this. See, this message is not just for good Lutherans who come to church on Sunday morning. It's for the people who don't come to church. People who are lost. The people who are frightened and lonely. People who are hiding. The people who don't know that they need Jesus. It's for everyone. God did not do this in a secret. Look at verse 10. He bared his holy arm before all the nations. That's what he means. That's what happens when Jesus comes into the world. The whole world sees this. The ends of the earth, verse 10, the ends of the earth will see the salvation. The ends of the earth will see Yeshua. The ends of the earth will see Jesus. The salvation of our God. That is good news of the good. God is not partial. He doesn't just want some to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. That is good news of the good. This good news defeats the dismal news of this world, and it is always coming. We are beginning the season of Advent. That word means coming. And it's a great time to be reminded that the good news of salvation is always a coming news. Christians exist in the state of waiting for Jesus to come. All of those who were born before he came into this world were waiting for the salvation that God would send. And all of those who come after the death and resurrection of Jesus are waiting for him to return. We always are in a state of waiting, looking for the coming of the salvation of our God. This is a great way to live, always anticipating the blessings that God will give tomorrow. And who begins this message? Well, look at verse 8, and you will see it is the watchman. The watchmen, your watchmen, so it's very personal, your watchmen, they lift up their voice and together they sing for joy because they see eye to eye. The picture is they're standing on the wall waiting, looking, longing for the return, the salvation to come, and they see it eye to eye, and so they sing for joy. Who is that watchman? It is your pastor. He is the one who speaks to you the good news of the coming of the salvation of Christ. He is the one who waits and longs and studies and publishes, proclaims the good news of the coming of Jesus. And then he encourages you to join in with him in this great song of joy. That singing, by the way, reaches into the dreariest places. So here's where I remind you, this is not sort of an ivory tower kind of language that, it's someday we'll all by and by where it's going to be great joy. No, look at verse 9. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. He addresses he's talking about the garbage dumps or the latrines, probably worse, right? Break forth into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. He is saying that even the worst places in the world, when they see the coming of the salvation of Christ, will break forth into singing because this joy penetrates even into your darkest days, even into your worst case scenarios, even into your most hopeless of situations. This song pierces the song of the joy of the coming of Christ. That's good news of the good for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace of God, which is beyond our understanding, keeps your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin, and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With